coming up on the Tall Mike Wine Podcast.
So you're a movie star, too.
I mean, basically.
Reprise.
Yes.
It's French, so there's an S on the end, but you don't say it. Have you read much Voltaire?
I tried.
That's good. You get an A for effort. And I did some research about Elephant Mountain. Apparently, there are no elephants on the mountain. I love Mendocino Pinot because it rhymes. Please subscribe to the podcast on whichever app you find it on and share me with a friend. There's enough of me to go around, trust me. Does that sound weird?
And now, the Tall Mike Wine Podcast.
The cell phones have been silenced. The wine is poured. It's breathing right now. Are you breathing? I hope so. And just like that, the podcast begins. The Tall Mike Wine Podcast, the wine podcast that's not all about wine. The wine podcast like no other, heard in 75 countries on 6 continents and in 48 of these United States, coast to coast from South Bend, Indiana to Tarabella, California, from Gresham, Oregon to Athens, Tennessee, and wherever you are, thanks for joining me. I'm Tall Mike, a.k.a. Mike Stone, your host. If you like the podcast, here's some things you can do to help it thrive and grow. Be sure you're following us on whichever podcast app you're hearing it on so you don't miss an episode. And give us a rating if that's an option. Share the podcast with a friend. Do you have friends? Share it on social media if that's a thing you do. And if you'd like to contribute to the upkeep, the care and feeding, click the Support the Show link in the show notes and become a monthly sponsor. Support the show with a few bucks. It all helps a lot. And now, episode 52. I'm back in the vintner's room at Nicholson Ranch Winery. It's after hours. My guest is here. She is in the biz, as I like to say. That's the winery hospitality side of things. She is the hospitality coordinator at Pangloss Cellars here in Sonoma, but her journey to the wine life has been interesting. She earned a bachelor's degree in sociology with an emphasis in law and society from UC Davis and worked above the morgue logging evidence in the crime lab during school. She appeared in a short film over 10 years ago, and you can still see her listed in the cast on imdb.com. And she worked for Lululemon. My guest is Alisa Limbacher. Welcome to the podcast, Alisa.
Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome. So you're a movie star, too.
I mean, basically, my award isn't here, but yes.
Tell me about your IMDb listing.
Well, it's really funny because my cousin, who is a film student, he created this film or made this movie.
But so it was a student film.
It's a student film. And by submitting it to the Toronto Film Festival, once he did that, it created this whole IMDb account for me.
Oh, so IMDb just loads it up.
Like, yes.
Oh, it's in the festival. You're going on IMDb, whoever you are, if you're in the cast. You're now on IMDb listed.
Yes.
What's the name of the film?
I can't remember.
Oh, no.
Right now.
So you're in there now forever.
Correct.
But that was 2014.
Yes, it was.
No more movies since then?
No more. I did not really pursue that, although it was a great experience, and I still would be interested in doing that. It was really just to help him out to finish this.
So it was a short film. So you were in it for a short time.
I have one line.
Oh, you had one line.
One line.
Tell me the line.
Can I get you something to drink?
Wow. You know what? When you said that, you totally transformed into a different person.
You
went into character like that fast.
Just like that.
You're such
a pro. A barista. It was very difficult. I had to figure out my story, my path.
You were a barista in a short film.
Yes.
And now you're on IMDb.
Yes.
All right, Pangloss. Sonoma Plaza Tasting Room. Can you clear something up for me?
Yes.
Is it Sonoma Plaza or is it Sonoma Square?
I always say the square.
Oh, okay.
But I hear people say the plaza. I think it's interchangeable.
I see it listed as each and either. And I think on your website, it says Sonoma Plaza.
Okay.
You're the coordinator of the hospitality, or as I like to say, talking to strangers all day.
Yes. Yeah, that's
Isn't that amazing?
Here. It's true.
Every day we come to work, we get ready. We're ready to pour wine for people and talk about it and show people a great time.
Yes.
But every day it's a new group of strangers. Like, My mom told me not to talk to strangers, and now my job is basically talking to strangers all day. How's it going over there?
I love it.
Yeah?
I enjoy meeting new people, and I feel as though I'm hosting a party at my house every day. Mm-hmm. That's how I treat it. It's just guests that I haven't met yet.
Right. People are coming to sip wine.
Yes.
So already there are people, right?
Yes.
They're coming. They've maybe traveled from other parts of the Bay Area or further away. And now is the time when the people from further away start coming.
Right. Yeah.
Which is awesome.
It is. It's picking up.
Did you have anybody from far away off the top of your head today?
Not today. No? I did just yesterday from Australia. That's actually quite common.
Australia, the UK, we get a lot of those people.
Yeah.
Do you ever notice people from Europe? They come. And when you talk to them, you say, well, are you just visiting wine country? Are you California? And they say, oh, we started in LA and then we came up here and then we're going to go to Las Vegas. It's like a triangle. And so I got hip to that. And then somebody would come and say, oh, yeah, we were in LA. We're up here now in San Francisco, day trip to wine country. I'm like, when are you going to Vegas? They're like, how did you know? Because that's the triangle.
I didn't
realize
that.
You start in one of the three and then you go to the other two. And that's a thing.
I've not noticed that, but I love that you're paying attention.
Las Vegas, LA, San Francisco. When you're in San Francisco, it's an hour away. So people come up here. They want to see wine country.
Yes.
Alisa, what day is it for you? Today is my Wednesday.
Honestly, I don't even know. I don't keep track of the days anymore.
Not what day of the week is it? What day is it on your calendar?
Oh, it's a little different this week because I'm filling in. So technically this would be my Monday, but it is my Tuesday.
So you're going to work six?
No, I'm actually going to be getting... This week is just a different week.
Okay, so normally what day is today?
So normally today's my Monday.
Okay.
Since it's technically Thursday, this is my Monday.
Okay, and today's my Wednesday.
Yeah.
I like to do this with people that are in the business, and even when I go to Whole Foods and I'm talking to the person that's doing the checkout, I say, what day is it for you? And they're like, oh, it's my Monday, and it's, like Friday. People don't realize that. They come here, and when people come on a Friday, I love it when they leave and they say, have a nice weekend, because we're going into the teeth of it.
Oh, for
like,
sure.
We're going into Saturday, which is the busy day. It's like, no, that's work. That's hard work.
For real. So
I think it's funny. I like to give props to the people that have the days of the week that are a little skewed from everybody else.
Mondays are my Fridays.
Okay. Well, that's kind of nice. Wineries with tasting rooms on the plaza or in downtown Napa, for example, are not off in the vineyards. Where is the actual Pangloss winery?
Well, our production site is at Rapri on Moon Mountain.
Okay.
However, we source our fruit from all over California.
Sure. But where does the wine get made?
On Moon Mountain at Rapri, our big sister.
On Moon Mountain, mm-hmm. At the other winery, your mothership.
Yes.
Another winery called Rapri.
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 Yes.
It's French, so there's an S on the end, but you don't say it.
Correct. But we hear it all of the time, which means rebirth in
what,
French.
What do people say?
Repris.
Repris.
We just finished up at Repris.
Oh.
And, you just let it go.
You got to let it go.
Yeah, you got to let it go.
Nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, welcome in.
Now, your tasting room is on the plaza, on the square, whichever. It's a really old building, according to something I read on TripAdvisor.
Mm-hmm.
How old is the building?
From 1902.
Whoa. That's older than I am.
Just a touch.
just a couple.
Just a couple of years.
Just a couple. Now, this I found interesting. Pangloss is a character from Voltaire's Candide. This world is the best possible world, sort of optimism. Which I like to talk about that kind of stuff on the podcast because it brings in a highbrow crowd, people that have been reading 18th century literature.
Yes.
And I'm like, I've never.
I love that you did this research.
Oh, I love it. Well, yeah. I wondered what is Pangloss?
A lot of people
I think
do.
Of like when I heat my cast iron skillet on the stove and it gets nice and hot and then I put a little bit of olive oil in it and it gets all glossy. Pangloss.
That's obviously, like, that's what that stands for.
Why would they name their winery Pangloss?
No.
But this was a character.
Yes.
Have you read much Voltaire?
I tried.
That's good. You get an A for effort.
I did. I tried. We have the books on site.
I'm sure that you do. Somebody within your organization, though, has geeked out about that.
Oh, yeah. Someone has it right now at their house.
because the book is Candide, and importantly, Candide like travels the world and all these bad things happen to him, but he is mentored by this Professor Pangloss, who is constantly telling him how this is the way it's supposed to be, this is the best of all possible worlds, this is where we are. He is like the eternal and unstoppable optimist.
That's exactly right.
So the winery is called Pangloss. Is it all about optimism?
Yes. We have three blends that are named positive words. Appreciation.
Okay.
Tenacity. Oh. And optimism.
Tenacity.
I love that. Tenacious D.
Tenacity. All right. The time has come on the podcast where we taste the wine.
Let's do it.
It is the wine podcast. It's not all about wine, but we're sipping wine while we talk. And I'm going to go first. I brought this wine today. It was a lovely warm day in Sonoma. We finally hit the spring weather. And I thought, you know what? Elise is coming. I'm going to bring a bottle of rosé for a nice warm day. And I just happened to get a wine club shipment from one of my little pet wineries up in Washington State this week.
Yay.
And they sent me their first ever rosé.
Oh, wow.
So this is a very small winery. The producer here is J.B. Neufeld, as you can see. I think this might be one of the prettier labels I have seen.
I love the
in
labels.
Quite some time. Mm-hmm. This is a rosé of Mourvèdre.
Oh, wow.
And it's from the Yakima Valley, and it's from a specific vineyard called Elephant Mountain Vineyard.
Love the name.
And I did some research about Elephant Mountain. Apparently, there are no elephants on the mountain. Not even one. Like, how can you call yourself Elephant Mountain? I haven't seen an elephant.
Is there a reason?
I don't know. I think it's probably the shape. Like if you look at the horizon, the mountain might be shaped like an elephant.
I love this color.
It's a great color. So the artwork on the label, where does it say that here somewhere? Ah, Nikki McClure. She does these beautiful things for the Neufelds. So J.B. Neufeld is, this is clever. J is Justin, the winemaker. His wife is Brooke B., and they started when they were just like a newly married couple, and Justin was working for a fairly large winery in Yakima, and he started making a little bit of wine on the side to put his own label on, and wow. He continued to do that. And now they have their own facility, and they're up to about 2,500 cases a year. Started out just cab. He made like 3 cabs. That's it. That's how he started. And then they branched out. They started making a little bit of other things, a few other red grapes. And then a few years ago, apparently Brooke said to Justin, I want white wine. I don't know if she said it just like that, but he made a Sauvignon Blanc. Delicious. This is the first rosé. So it's a new winery. So they're making their newest, their first of things. You know, it's kind of cool to be involved with
yes.
them. And I get 2 shipments a year from these guys.
I love
the
that.
Wine is amazing.
It is.
It is a pale pink color. Not dark at all. It's very pale. Pale
it's
pink.
Really beautiful. Mm-hmm.
But it's not electric pink. Like some rosés, you know, like, whoa, that thing's almost purple. Yes.
Right now I'm collecting some rosés at home.
Are you?
So I can do a rosé. Like I've got a rosé of a cab. Mm-hmm. This would be a lovely addition of the Mourvèdre.
Yeah.
And then Pinot. And then we could just do like little sandwiches, little English tea.
Like a tea party.
Yes. I would love to do that.
When I look at rosé, I think that's going to be strawberry. That's going to be watermelon. And then I stick my nose into this one and it's like, no. You were not immediately greeted by fruit at all. Mm-mm. This is almost like something a little bit like rhubarb-y.
I was going to say very earth.
Yeah, earthy, rhubarb-y, a hint of like something a little bit green, but
for
it's
sure.
nice because it's light.
Herbaceous.
And then you get into a little bit of that like strawberry.
I love the way it feels.
It has some weight to it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he put this in concrete or what he did. But I should have read the tasting notes, but I didn't.
Nice minerality.
Really nice.
Right?
Yeah, it's delicious. I'm loving it. This is 2023, so this is young, fresh wine right here.
Mm.
It's only a few months old.
Yeah, that's really young.
Yeah. Yeah, they just released it to their wine club. Came in the mail.
I love that.
This week. All right, I'm going to now present you your official stack of Tall Mike Wine podcast coasters.
Yay! These
and
are so cool.
I'm glad you like them.
Yes.
And if you would like your own stack of Tall Mike Wine podcast coasters, you may email me at tallmikewine@gmail.com. You have to give me your address, and I will mail you a stack. And speaking of mailing things, a quick shout out to Tim in Coriopolis, Pennsylvania, who sent me a hat in the mail. I got a hat in the mail. Tim heard Walter and I chatting a few episodes ago. He was my guest, Walter, who works for Last Bottle Wines. And I had brought in a bottle of wine from Australia's Two Hands Winery. And apparently, Tim, who's in Coriopolis, Pennsylvania, which is a suburb of Pittsburgh, he's been listening to the podcast, and he's really into wine. Apparently, he had some sort of a wine experience where he hosted a lot of people, and he was going to use the Two Hands Wine in his thing, and he wrote to the winery, and they sent him a box of caps. So when he heard me talking about Two Hands Wine on the podcast, he dropped one of those caps in the mail, and I got a free hat.
Awesome.
So thank you very much, Tim, and thanks for listening. Elisa grew up in Northern California, but not in the Bay Area. That's right. The world does not revolve around us. There are other people here in the North. You're from Roseville.
Yes.
Part of Placer County and a suburb of Sacramento. How was that? How was it being a kid in Roseville?
It was a great time. I've had a lot of friends. Very picturesque, I would say.
Is it? So I looked at it on the map, and I'll be honest. I don't get out that way very often. Is it more rural? Is it more suburban?
Suburban.
Okay. So it's housing developments and strip malls and the stuff you expect in the burbs.
Very much
But you know, you have everything you need there, right?
Yes.
You got a Target. You got everything you need.
You got everything you need. They have a casino out there now.
Oh, hey now.
And by having that, it produced a huge mall, which they are known for. The Roseville Galleria is out there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I bet that was a great place to hang out when you were a youth.
It was, but having the casino, people want to spend that money somewhere.
Right.
So they built a luxury wing out there, and that really has, Roseville has grown significantly.
Okay. So the casinos, man, that's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I'm not somebody who's going to hang out in the casino.
Same.
But it brings the people.
It brings the people.
They are passionate about it.
They are.
You have an older sister. I'm reading your bio here.
Yes.
Is she a lot older?
She's 18 months older.
Oh, she's almost Kristen. Like your same age.
Yes, we are. We could not be more different.
Okay. Where is she?
So she's in St. Louis.
Okay.
My mom is out there currently visiting her. She is a mother of two. My sweet niece and nephew, Bobby and Elizabeth. Yeah, Kristen's a stay-at-home mom, hockey mom.
Okay.
All of that. Very different life.
Doesn't work in a winery.
She does not. No. She's at the Rexplex a lot.
So when you were a kid, was there wine in the house? Did your parents drink wine at dinner?
I did not grow up in a household that really drank wine.
It's not uncommon. It's really interesting how people find it eventually. If it's in you, you'll find it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But your parents normal otherwise, mostly?
They're normal.
Okay.
Yes.
But why were they in Roseville?
My dad was a CHP, and so Sacramento. We lived in Oakland when I was very young, and then we moved to Roseville. Sacramento was where my dad was based, and
he was a trooper.
He was a trooper.
Okay.
And then he worked his way into the evidence room, which is how we navigate to the crime lab.
Oh, yes, eventually you get to a crime lab.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, my dad, what he would drink would be Bud Light.
Right. Yeah, good old dad.
Yes.
And his Bud Light.
Right. And my mom doesn't touch anything. If we had wine in the house, it would be Franzia.
In a box.
In a box.
In the fridge.
Forever.
Somebody slapping the bag occasionally.
Yeah.
Yes. I just learned that term recently.
Yes.
Slap the bag.
Thank you, Lizzo.
Then you went off to UC Davis to study sociology. Was that at the suggestion of your dad?
Yes.
Or you wanted to be like him? You wanted to be a copper and get into the biz?
I think growing up around my dad's job, I was exposed to more than most people would be at the time. And so, yes, like quick answer, I was very close with both my parents, always admired my dad. Mm-hmm. However, looking back, I think that my dad, I love you, Dad, if you're listening. I think my dad really wanted me to kind of follow the path that he wanted for me. Mm-hmm. And that was a struggle and was up until recently that, you know, me going my own way, I wanted a little bit more support and I finally got it, which has been really wonderful. But yeah, he wanted something else.
Right. Did you go share a couple Bud Lights and talk about it?
No. No. Mm-mm. I Yeah, it was just a very different upbringing. I did all of the things. I ended up working at AT&T for 11 years,
okay,
working in the Bay Area. I did make my way to San Ramon and managed a lot of network installations for a long time. And I was not passionate. And I kept thinking I did all of the right things. And, you know, went to college, have a great career.
Went to college, got the degree, went out into the world. You didn't go that way. You didn't get into law enforcement. You didn't become a sociologist, whatever that is.
Right. But in a way, that's kind of, I think, what helped me understand people more, mm-hmm. right? Is that the coursework that you do, the anthropology.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All of that.
For sure. Why are people so weird? I don't know, but we're going to find out.
Yeah. Yes.
People are weird because they're people. Mm-hmm. I think it's just weird being a person.
Yes.
You know, being a human being in this world with all of the other human beings.
Yes.
It can get complicated.
Yes.
All right. So you worked at AT&T.
Yes.
And then you went to work for Lululemon.
Yeah.
Now, what's more fun, selling yoga pants or selling wine?
Selling wine.
Okay.
Selling wine. Definitely.
But you got to admit, yoga pants are popular.
That was a huge part of my life, and I'm forever thankful for that company. I learned a lot about myself and growth too. However, my passion is wine, and it started by just me taking a moment to watch a documentary.
Right, we're going to get that. We're going to get to that.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
There's a big reveal coming momentarily.
Yes.
I just want to say Lululemon. There was a time a few years back when women wore all sorts of different things when they were out running their errands. And then one day I looked around and they were all wearing yoga pants. And I thought, you know what? This is a good change. I like this.
I would say everyone but my sweet, may he rest in peace, my grandfather.
Oh, well, 90, of course, he's 92. Not going to wear yoga pants.
No, I would go by and say hello.
Oh, in the yoga pants?
Yeah, after work I'd come by and he'd be like,
cover yourself, girl.
Yes, yes. Very traditional.
I tell you, the guy that convinced women to wear yoga pants everywhere they went, mm-hmm. I've nominated him for a Nobel Prize several times to no avail. There's a pivotal moment coming up for Elisa, and we'll get to it momentarily. But first, we're going to taste the next wine.
Let's do it.
A wine that Elisa has brought
yes.
from the winery where she works. But it's not a pan glass wine. It's a wine of a different name. Do tell.
Okay, I'm bringing today our 2018 Wendling Vineyard from our sister label, Texture.
So let's see. We have Pangloss, which is a subsidiary of Rapree.
Yes.
And then where does Texture fit in?
Texture
is... a subsidiary of Pangloss or part of Rapree?
It's really... We're all sisters. The big sister is Rapree.
Okay.
But Texture is this really... I would describe it as a very beautiful expression of Chardonnay and Pinot Noir.
And the label, if you touch it, it's texture.
It has texture.
Feels good.
People love it. They're beautiful.
There's no words on the label.
There is, though.
It's like the Beatles' White Album. Yes. It's just like, is that an album? It's all white. This is that. Actually, it's textured. It says texture, but you have to feel it. With
yes.
your fingers.
Yes. Mm. Very unique, very beautiful.
Stop stroking the bottle, sir.
I know. Hands off, hands off.
All right. So this is Pinot from 2018 from the Wendling Vineyard, which is in Anderson Valley. Oh, it's a Mendocino Pinot.
Mendocino
Pinot. I love Mendocino Pinot because it rhymes.
It is so beautiful.
Mendocino Pinot.
I love that.
All right, let's get a nose on it here. It's purple. It's purple. Maybe fuchsia, maybe magenta.
Yeah, magenta.
Okay, all right. I'm going to smell the wine. Give it a good sniff. You've smelled this a lot, so I'm sure you already know it. This is my first smell of it, and I'm getting some nice red berry fruit on the nose. Something just a little bit brambly. Like, you know, like the grapevines when they're dusty?
Yes.
That kind of thing. A little bit of almost... almost like brown sugar.
Okay.
A little bit brown sugar. Now it's got a little bit of like the big dark cherry.
Okay. Right?
Yeah. It smells great.
I love this part of wine tasting. Truly. I do. I love to see what people pick up. I love to see their faces while they're drinking and sipping. This part's very exciting for me. So I'm enjoying watching your...
That same thing that I said, oh, a hint of brown sugar. It's kind of echoed on the palate. It's not sweet, but it has that kind of lightly almost caramel note to it behind all that nice red fruit. It's really well balanced. This is the Wendling Vineyard is in Mendocino somewhere.
I can tell you where it is.
Oh, well, tell me where it is.
Let's talk about it. Okay. So this is the 18 Wendling. It's coming at the very deep end. It's the very last vineyard in Anderson Valley before it's just pine trees. So right by the Navarro River.
Going north or going west?
Going north.
Oh, okay. So it's way up there.
It's literally the last vineyard.
Okay.
Eric Bradley waited 8 years for that contract to expire so we can gain access to it.
Oh.
So this was a long time.
Who's coming. Eric Bradley?
Eric Bradley is our winemaker.
Oh.
For all three labels.
Oh, okay. He makes all the wine.
Yes.
I'm Eric. I'm the king of wine. I live on a mountain. Now, here's my favorite line from your bio. Watch the documentary called Somme on Netflix. Changed my life. I'll assume this wasn't a Netflix and chill sort of setup.
No. No, it was not.
Like, oh, wait, what's this movie? Oh, well, I just want to watch the movie. Yeah, get off me.
Right. Not at all.
All right. So tell me about the Somme documentary. What drew you to it? Why did you click on it and watch it?
The thumbnail sketch.
Okay.
The
right? When you hover over it, it gives you just like a little mini trailer, right?
Yeah. Okay. This would have been... In 2016.
Right.
Yeah. And I'll just drop a little bomb here. I was going through a divorce.
Okay.
And yeah. And
just a little bomb.
Yeah.
People do it every day.
Yes. Was still working with Lululemon. And I remember seeing that sketch of the earth. I'm inside a mall all the day. I have no concept of time.
Oh, okay. Lululemon. Okay. So you go home and you're like, I need something.
I need nature.
Right. Okay.
And what drew me was the grapes, really. Just the picture. It was just
beautiful.
Beautiful. Right. And I decided to watch that. At this time, I had really left my entire life, meaning I was married. I had a nice income, a nice everything. And then I walked away from all of that at once. And I had moved back in with my mother, which was really hard on my ego. Very difficult time.
Sure. That's hard.
As an adult. I just remember I was up and I saw that and I thought, I'm going to just check this out and see what this is about. And within the first few minutes, I remember the music and the slow motion and watching the Sauvignon Blanc going into, you know, the bin and they're going to press it. And okay. I remember it was all slow motion and it was beautiful.
I'm going to make a shocking revelation here. I'm going to tell you something. I've never seen any of the movies.
That's okay. They're still there.
Okay.
And you know what? Honestly, that movie, I didn't see the others, but I did see the one. And mostly what echoed in my heart was that these people had something that they were passionate about. And I had not had that. Mm. Not like that. And I wanted to be around nature, earth, people, art. That's what, you know, winemaking is about.
Right.
Art and science.
Because you had been on the path.
I was on the path.
The path. And I'm on the path. I'm being good. I'm on the path.
Right.
And then eventually the path started to suck, obviously, because you got divorced and you left AT&T. You went to work for Lululemon. So you were like, I'm getting off the path for a while. And then you found a thing.
And then I found a thing.
Wow.
Got me excited.
That is awesome.
It got me excited to live again. Honestly, I was not in a good space. And so that changed my life. And I told my mother and my sweet little grandma, who's 99 right now, but like, you know, very close with my family. And I said, I need to go to Napa Valley. We're going to go tomorrow and we're just going to drive around and see, just to see. And I ended up going to Oakville Grocery to stop and grab a lunch. And I applied for a job right there just to see. Wow. They called me.
Like the next day, you're driving around Napa.
The very next day.
And then you're putting application.
Yes, all of it was fast. And I found a place to live and I got that job that day.
So the turnaround from you watching Somme at home, just minding your own business, watching a movie, what can it hurt? I'm just going to watch this movie. It won't change anything. And then all of a sudden,
boom,
you're in. You got a job at Oakville Grocery, which, by the way, is an iconic, like, delicatessen grocery store, coffee shop in the middle of the Napa Valley. And it's just, it's a thing.
It's a thing.
It's kind of a big deal.
I mean, if you want to, yeah. It's great because people stop there to get their coffee or espresso after wine tasting.
Right. Or in the middle of wine tasting, they stop and get a big old fat sandwich.
Yeah, for real.
And they make a big old fat sandwich. I think they make pizza. It's not just a grocery store.
It's not.
I think it started out as a grocery store, but then it got a little bougie.
Very bougie.
Yeah.
Yes. I was just thinking that.
And then you worked there for a while as a
barista.
A barista.
Following the role of my movie. Wink, wink.
Okay.
Oh, right?
Did you get to use your line?
I said, can I get you something to drink?
People would like look at you like, oh, when she says that, I really do want something to drink.
Wow, she feels that.
She's, wow, that's
she gets
who
me.
She is. She looked familiar? I think I saw her on IMDb.
Against the odds, against the
against
odds.
Against the odds. Oh, man, it came out. I'm glad we picked that up.
Yes.
Otherwise, that was going to go on the cutting room floor.
But by working there, I was exposed to many different, you know, people, employees who worked at different wineries.
Okay.
And I met...
So you're hearing people talk about their winery jobs and the tasting room jobs, and you weren't scared?
I wasn't. I mean, and it was weird because, you know, you're coming from a very different background and you're working a job. I will say a barista job is very stressful and
totally
way more stressful than I thought.
I worked in restaurants for 20 years and I was the guy who hired and maintained the bartender staff and maintained the bar, the liquor, the beer, the wine, made the wine list, trained the staff, tasted all the wine, brought it into the winery. And bartending is a hard thing because the ticker just keeps going. You know?
Yes.
Drinks. And it's kind of on a different scale with barista, but it's the same thing.
Right.
You got to keep pulling those shots and steaming that milk. It yes. just doesn't stop.
Right. Half calf, decaf.
Oh, my God.
Non-fat, oat milk, almond right. milk, all of it.
How many milks are there?
I don't even know.
Regular milk. There's 2%. And then there's soy milk. And there's oat milk. And there's rice milk. And now I think there's even like, what's the flax milk.
Is there?
Yeah, flax.
Did we count almond?
No, we didn't even say almond.
That's what I use that all the time.
That's so many choices.
Whole
That's
milk?
So many choices. I want to open a coffee shop and say, it's this milk or no milk.
Yeah.
This is it. And you're going to pay cash.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a 20% gratuity included.
Forever. But yeah, that's where I landed originally and met people. And
then how long did it take before you found a job at Cake Bread?
It took
Which,
me,
by the way,
yeah.
is impressive because your first winery job is at Cake Bread, which is another one of those wineries in the Napa Valley. It's something.
There's a huge following for that. For
how long did it take you to get that job?
About 6 months.
Okay. Wow. You're fast track.
Fast tracking it up. I'm just talking to people.
You're using your sociology degree there.
That's exactly why I went to school. Yes.
And then after that, you ended up, how long did you work at Cake Bread?
I worked there almost a year, but I will say I also found a place in St. Helena and it was an in-law unit on a vineyard. And so living on a vineyard and seeing the work and the main house, he worked on those vines. And so he would take me out there, show me, you know, how we grow, you know, but what's bud break look like? What is, right. you know, what does it look like? The mustard seeds in between, why do we plant that? All
right.
of the vineyard management, as well as at Cake Bread, I was able to see that firsthand since
sure.
the vines are on site and the tank room is also there on site. I did become friends. I intentionally was like, I want to talk to as many people so I can learn about wine because I did not have a background in wine, but I had a background in sales. So they took me up on that experience and by my own passion and excitement mm-hmm. is what made me.
But the most important thing here is you had curiosity.
Yes.
There are a lot of people who say, oh, I want to work at a winery because it looks like fun and I like wine.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, but you have to be curious about how it all works. Otherwise, I want to work in a tasting room because I like wine is really, you're not going to scratch too far below the surface, right?
Right.
So having that curiosity is, I think, the big thing for you. is because you were like, how does it work?
Right.
Where do they grow?
Yes.
What does that do? Why is that happening?
I also think one thing I was thinking about today before coming out here is thinking I'm going to be reflecting on my past. I think I was brave, you know, to leave a big corporate job.
Totally.
That's something that I have to stop and recognize and go, you know what? That's awesome.
You got to give yourself a pat on the back for that.
Yeah. Hold on.
It's hard to pat yourself on the back. I know. Yeah, but
physically.
I'll pat you on the back after the show.
Oh my God. But yes, I mean, that's one thing I'm very proud of. So
you were sort of at one of those down points, mm-hmm. you know, oh, I divorced. I left a corporate job. I'm watching this movie and then something happened to you.
Yes.
And you acted on it.
A pilot was lit.
Right.
And I ran with it.
I like this. The pilot was lit.
Yeah. And I pursued
turned
it.
Turned the burner up.
I full throttle.
Poof.
Yes.
And then you ended up living on a vineyard. That's really super cool.
It was.
I think part of it is, so I drive here every day from Marin County, which is the next county over to the west. And there's no vineyards there. I'm in the suburbs, but I drive here and about halfway through the drive, I'm then driving through the vineyards.
Yeah.
And I really think that, like, you know, it's kind of like that, the theme from Rocky when I'm on my way here, you start driving through the vineyards like dun, dun, da, da, dun, da, da, dun, da, 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 gonna fly now. And you're driving through the vineyard. It's like, yes, this is my thing. I'm into it.
Yeah.
And then I'm here at the winery and people come to taste the wine and they look at me and they say, you get to come here every day? And I'm like, yes, I do.
Yeah.
And when I leave the house in the morning, I tell my girlfriend, Sabrina, I'm going to work. And sometimes she gets a little upset about that.
Yes.
Because this is what I do for work.
Right.
But yeah, so you got curious. You moved here. Definitely. Bravery.
Thank you.
Is a thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then how did you end up at Pangloss?
One of my friends that Cake Bread, he knew the manager at Pangloss and recommended that as a place to check out because it was a different pace altogether.
Okay.
You know, even talking about Napa versus Sonoma, not that they're against each other, but they are different experiences.
It's a different thing.
Yes.
People come in all the time and they say, we were over at your competitor.
Right.
And I say, well, they're not really our competitor. They might do something different than we do, but we're all on team wine here.
I love that.
But the vibe from a place like Cake Bread, an iconic winery in the Napa Valley, and then you go to a tasting room on the square that's not even in a vineyard, that's more of a storefront where they sell the wine, they taste the wine.
Right.
Totally different vibe.
It's an experience.
Yeah. And you can't, some people don't necessarily have time to go out to the vineyards. Some people are in town, like, oh, we don't have time to drive all the way to the vineyard. Let's do a tasting room here on the square. So your job is to make them feel like they're in the vineyard, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll show them pictures. I love to almost be immersive and say, hey, this is what it looks like. This is what this area looks like because I don't have access to that on site at the square. But I try to give them as best of an idea of where everything comes from. But yes, it's a very different pace. So that's how I ended up. My friend introduced me to Pangloss.
Okay.
And I worked there for almost 2 years.
Okay.
Left for, this is almost the COVID era. We're almost there. So I kind helped out a little bit with my family. And then I came back again last. Yeah.
You took a break.
I took a little breather, but I would say that I feel like I just came home, honestly. And it feels the same, even better. And I love it. I'm very happy.
They're good people.
They are. I mean, everyone in Sonoma is it feels like such a nice community, a sweet community.
Well, you're on the square, so you're in the midst of it.
Yeah.
Like out here in the vineyard, sometimes people come in and I say, what's going on in the outside world? Because, you know, we're a little bit isolated.
That's true.
Right? We're out here in the middle of a vineyard and we don't have neighbors. Like I can imagine your life on the square. It's like there's a store next door. One of my favorite restaurants in Sonoma, Oso, is right next to you guys. Love Oso.
Yeah, I love Oso.
So you've got this hubbub. There's always people. And we're out here like waiting for the people to come.
I know. You have the pros and cons of both.
Right. So we have the vineyard. I mean, people come in, they're like, oh my God, it's so beautiful here.
I feel like I've been transported to Italy.
Yes, I'm glad you're here because I was lonely.
Yeah.
It gets lonely on the vineyard.
Yeah. Yes.
That's incredible. I love your story.
Thank you.
Are you studying or taking tests for any of the psalm levels?
I know. I have not. Okay. I am
no
fine.
Biggie. It's not that important unless it's important to you.
Right now it's not, but it is there. I'm aware of it. I would like to do that. I feel like that's something that I can accomplish.
Sure.
I just need to lay it down.
You have to want to do it.
Yes.
And then you will do it.
There you go.
You're that kind of person.
Yeah.
Tell me what you love about the biz. If you had to say, what's the thing you love about being in the wine business?
What I love about being in the wine business is meeting people, and literally me being on a podcast. This is my first podcast.
Oh, it's your first one.
My first one. And how I got here is through my friends that I met who became members at Pangloss, and we developed a friendship. So a shout out to my friends, Ryan and Vic. I love them, and they took me here, and that's how I met you, and here
they
I am.
They are wine club members here.
They are. I know.
And they brought you here a few weeks ago, and I'm like, you got to be on the podcast. And sadly, those two guys wanted to be here when you recorded. They're like, well, we could do an audience thing. I guess you guys just hang out. But instead, guys, you're going to have to just be happy with listening. We're having a great time without you. Thank you so much.
Yes. I love them. But yes.
So you've not been on any other podcasts. This is your first time.
First time.
Do you listen to podcasts?
I love podcasts.
What's your favorite? What can you recommend?
I love Smartless.
Okay, they're very popular.
I enjoy
I read that they just signed some kind of huge deal with Spotify.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Lots and lots of money. So guys that already have a lot of money are going to be making a lot more money to do podcasting, which one day, Spotify, if you're listening, I'm available.
You know what I love about that podcast is because literally it's just purely lighthearted entertainment.
Right?
It doesn't affect my mood except for increase it.
They're super popular.
Yeah, I love it.
What else do you like?
I love Morbid, and that is due to my background in crime.
Okay.
Yeah, I love that. That's a great podcast if you like spooky haunted stuff. And this, I have a tattoo. It is all Halloween. I love Halloween. Oh. I'm a spooky girl too.
Morbid.
Yes.
Is the name of the podcast?
Morbid. They're based in Boston.
What do they talk about?
They talk about true crime cases. They go all over the, like, as far as the whole historical crimes to recent crimes, and then they have spooky stuff.
I tell you, man, that true crime is it's a genre.
It is
with
it's one of those double-edged swords where it's like it's intriguing, but I need to not get too
freaked
impressed.
Out. Yeah. I've only listened to a few. I'm impressed when I listen to one of those podcasts. I'm impressed by the research that they do.
So much.
They're like, and then this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened, and then these things happened, and then all these things happened. Like, wow, somebody researched all of that.
Oh, yeah.
And then wrote it out. The person talking is reading it off of the sheet, you know, like that is impressive to me. But I can't, after a while, I'm like, okay, all right. It's not my genre. My genre is people talking to each other like this. Conversation podcasts are my favorite thing.
Love that.
And that's why I have a conversation podcast.
Here
based on wine, people who love wine, people who drink wine, and drinking wine.
Yeah.
Did you have a good time?
I did. This was really fun.
This is kind of the end. I mean, I've reached page 3 and we're done.
I'm so thankful to have been here. You were very easy for my first podcast. No, but it's been great. I love it. And thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
The wine. Yeah, and conversation.
Thanks for bringing in the texture.
Yes. And so anyone who's listening, I'm going to plug us right now. Come by.
Go for it.
Do a texture tasting with me. I am the main host for texture. It is a food and wine pairing with Chablis style Chardonnay and then beautiful old world Pinot Noir.
I'm going to read the credits now.
Let's do it. Go for it.
Stand by. The Tall Mike Wine Podcast was conceived and is written, engineered, edited, produced, and maintained by yours truly. For a peek behind the scenes, follow me on Instagram at TallMikeWine. I'll send you some coasters if you email me, tallmikewine@gmail.com. Or if you just want to give some feedback, send me an email. Please subscribe to the podcast on whichever app you find it on and share me with a friend. There's enough of me to go around, trust me. Does that sound weird? Share me on social media. It all helps a lot. Oh, and if it's within the realms of your budget, support the podcast with a few dollars a month. That's also very helpful. Click the link in the show notes or go to tallmikewine.com. Thanks for hanging out, Elisa.
My pleasure.
I'll have another episode before you know it. Until then, I'm Tall Mike Wine. Keep swirling. Keep sniffing. Keep sipping. Cheers.